James, first of all, where is your ranch?
We're right at the base of Mount Adams in Trout Lake, Washington.
Okay.
And it's just, it's on the Columbia River, just about 20 miles from the Columbia River on the border.
And a lot of people are going to want to know, what do they have to do to get an invite to come see?
Well, the best thing to do is just call us or send us an email. Right now we're closed because we've got a lot of snow on the ground, and it's 6 degrees up here with about 60-mile-an-hour winds.
I see.
So
that'll discourage watching.
Yes, yeah, it kind of inhibits that a little bit. But,
all right.
It'll be warming up here towards, you know, the mid-March or end of March.
But you are open to that sort of
yes.
thing. Yes. All right. Well, the more the merrier, I guess. And for the two Russes, I have one more question. That's why I held you over. And that is, these craft appear to be intended to be seen. In other words, as though, whether it's for James or it's the mountain or for whatever reason, they want to be seen. Do you guys get that too?
I think that's pretty obvious, Art.
I think
yeah,
I agree with that.
Flashed and set off lights left and right. It was they weren't trying to hide up there.
Yeah, exactly. And so I wonder what the tease is. I mean, if we're being contacted, now I'm asking you to go out on a limb and you don't have to, but if we're being contacted, why the light show? Why the tease? Why not just get it over with and make contact? Anybody have any guesses?
I do, if you want.
All right, listen, I'm gonna thank the two Russes for being here tonight.
Okay, well, thank you much.
Thank you, guys. Both of them aerospace workers. So, you know, that's pretty heavy stuff from my point of view. Anyway, you said you had a guest, James?
Yes, there's some other guests that should be on the list. But, oh, the guests, yeah. It's what's happening right now is, you know, people ask, you know, why don't they land on the White House lawn? You know,
that's right.
In 52, they did fly over the White House lawn quite a bit.
They did, actually, yes.
And that was very well documented. And, you know, they were hovering right over the Olympics, too, as well. And that's going out over, you know, all the news agencies there. In Mexico, it's all over the front page in Mexico. There are hundreds of craft flying over Mexico.
I know. There are near collisions. Even some collisions, I believe, have been reported in Mexico.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's just undeniable there. And mainly it's just our press. We've had real good luck up here. We had ABC come up and Fox News covered it and Evening Magazine covered it and the History Channel and the Discovery Channel. We've had real good press because when they come up and see the evidence, the giggle factor just drops, you know, right there. And plus the long history, you know, with all, you know, Dr. Jalen Hynek and all the other top researchers. Steve Marino talks a lot about that. He has all that history.
Yeah. All right. We do have others. So let me bring Robert, I believe it is, an aviation expert on. Robert, welcome.
Good evening. How are you folks?
We're just fine. Where are you, Robert?
I'm over in the Oregon area up around Eugene.
Okay. And in what sense are you an aviation expert?
Well, basically, I've dealt with commercial aviation for, better part of 18 years, 18-plus years of my life.
Okay.
Ranging from manager of flight operations to mechanical, you know, maintenance engineer. So did that for quite a few years until time moved me out of that field and into something else in a different direction altogether. But during that time, just the acquaintance of various airlines, domestic airlines that I had worked for, and the equipment involved, a lot of the military bases that were close enough by, a lot of the airfields that I was working out of, seem to go ahead and interest me, so naturally one's going to look where their interests lie.
Of course. All right. What have you seen? How did you connect with James?
Connected up through James, actually through a mutual friend, and this was in the early portion of 2000, actually in the summer of 2000, so it was quite a while ago. And I am the most skeptical person there would have to be alive when it would come to anything that's out of the ordinary. I much rather go and base all of my judgments through a confirmed discernment of what's going on and what's what. So when I had heard about some of these sightings that were taking place, I did take the advantage point to go up on a weekend and visit with James. That was my main concern, to go ahead and visit with James and meet James. But basically, it turned out that there was a bonus of the sightings that I had seen. And we were in a much more limited group. There were just the folks that were there from the ranch, which was maybe at the time, I think, three or four people, including James and my friend and myself.
Describe the most spectacular thing you saw while there.
Well, I think the most spectacular thing that I recall is most of the, as far as Mount Adams goes, most of the star patterns and everything were moving basically from a right to a left across, you know, across the skyline and the horizon. James had pointed out something seemingly slowly moving from left to right. And as it disappeared behind Mount Adams, on showing itself again on the left, on the right-hand side of Mount Adams as it came by, it was much larger. It seemed to descend into a tree line that was there. Seemed to disappear for about 5 minutes. Suddenly, it just rose up brighter than day, larger than life, and sat there for a few minutes, hovered, and then just took off and disappeared, basically, at a high rate of speed.
And your reaction?
Flabbergasted, actually. I think that, out of most, was the grazing arrow that struck the skepticism out of my heart.
But you apparently had a multitude of sightings.
We did. There were, and, you know, James does have some type of an attunement to it. We would be standing there as a small group, and he would say, there's something coming from the south. He'd turn to the south, and we'd look there, and sure enough, within a matter of, you know, 30 seconds to a minute, there would be something there dimly seen coming across the sky, traversing over the ranch.
And there wouldn't be any way in your mind in the world that James could have perpetrated these things.
No, that would take a little bit too much money, I think. And I think if one would have to think that somebody from, you know, the military or any of our special ops vehicles and everything would have enough time to just go ahead and keep James busy at the ranch by promoting the sightings that would be shown does not seem to be logical, you know, nor a good expense of the money that could be better used somewhere else.
Would it be also your impression that these objects wanted to be seen?
It does seem that way, especially around the ranch. From what I've seen, after that, naturally, as we go through, we start looking more skyward, and I've seen a couple of different things here and there, but not in the same instance as they're appearing over the ranch. I think it's just a focal point, most certainly the vortex that is created over Mount Adams and around that area might have a lot to do with it, but I think the basics is just to go ahead and offer a preliminary presence that would go ahead and then lead to possibly a more confirmed contact on a wider spectrum of, you know, showing to the general public.